Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
All right, let's get to it. Lots of different perspectives. If you were to name the Oilers season for a documentary, what would it be? This text comes in and says, Bob, what about Boys on the Must? Meaning you must win this. Yeah, you can see that. Kind of makes sense. Loyal listener Jim. Well, that's a little bit harsh. The Bipolar Express. I guess we're referring to the inconsistency, the up and down nature of the season. I think he's trying to, and I realize it's a serious topic for some people. 69 wins will be the name of the documentary. 53 in the regular season and 16 in the playoffs. Again, you can text us. This one comes in. Don't ever count us out. That'll be the name of the documentary. This one comes in saying Redemption in Oil Country. There we go. Again, you can text us 780-496-0063. We literally have hundreds of these that have come in right now. The Fan Fantastic Season will be the name of the documentary. Return from the Abyss. That one comes to us from Dave the Millwright as we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. And welcome back to the show from the Cult of Hockey. He is our Oilers Now headliner today for Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. We welcome back to the show David Staples. Hello, David. How are you?
Great, Bob. How are you doing?
Good. So the genesis of this conversation was... Today, O.J. Simpson passed away, and I would assert to you that the two documentaries that ESPN did on their 30 for 30s around O.J. Simpson are two of the best. And, of course, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, and O.J. was ultimately acquitted of those murders. And whatever people think they think, and I get it because I have pretty strong feelings on the issue as well. But I we started talking about sports documentaries, and there's some really great ones out there, and I've watched them all. Ron McLean's more of a reader than a doc watcher. I am definitely a doc watcher. I love documentaries. So I'm going to put you on the spot spot here, David, because you are a creative writer. What is the name of the Oilers? And you got to be a little bit of a prognosticator because the season ain't over. What is it going to be based upon just how, and part of this, David, was because I tweeted out the numbers before and after U.S. Thanksgiving. And the Oilers were 30th in the league before U.S. Thanksgiving, and they've had the best record in the NHL since. So what's your documentary going to be?
Bob, I got nothing. So I'm just going to – I think the one texter came closest. I think I'm going to go with what Hollywood would call it, the Boys on the Bus 2.
Yeah.
Which is really good news.
You know,
that's really good news.
You're a writer. There's a lack of creativity with that. I mean, you basically what do they call that when they do like a remake of a movie that's From Hell to Heaven on Ice? What about that one, Bob?
All about the box office, Bob. And you got the brand that already sold once, so you want to sell it again. That's all I care about. How many tickets I can sell for my documentary? So.
Isaac and Darwell says, I got two for you, Bob. How about Blank Around and Find Out, or You Are Welcome, Canada, after the Oilers win the Stanley Cup. So there you go. And the funny thing is, if the Oilers do win the Stanley Cup, there will be several other market that it will not be particularly happy with that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I like the Fafo one. That's a good one.
You like that one?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That hits home.
Oh, this ties into a multitude of Alberta-related themes. Quit fracking with my emotions. That's actually pretty funny.
Is there going to be a documentary on the Oilers?
Yeah, Red has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, and he says, too many Roos Chris, the Bob Stauffer story. Well, you know,
Stauffer's heroes.
Yeah, Stauffer's. Well, actually, I worked with a tree planting foreman named Kelly, and they jokingly referred to us as Kelly's heroes back in the day. And it would, you know, I would, Timony Roos, Chris, I don't think that's okay, maybe a glass of wine, but, there's nothing wrong with a Bailey's and coffee first thing in the morning, just to establish, David. That's a good way to live your life. And there's nothing wrong after the game, swinging by Pub 1905 and seeing the gang down there into the wine room and discussing with some really intellectually intelligent people about the game we all love. So it is, it's been a remarkable turnaround, hasn't it, David?
It has. I mean, I don't know. Well, I mean, it's hard to know exactly what went wrong with Whitcroft and how Knobloch righted it, but they certainly have done so. And in a lot of ways, like, last night's game was really strange against Vegas, but it offered me, at least, a lot of hope, because I think the Oilers showed a clue and some real skill, Bob, at breaking down the zone defense that have presented so much trouble. I think the second and third goals the Oilers scored last night are indications this team has figured it out on the attack on how you break down the zone. And it's similar in basketball. You do it with patience, proper spacing of the players to pull the zone apart, excellent passing, fast, excellent passing, and a lot of movement. And both the Ekholm goal and was the next one, Hyman. Both those goals featured all those things. I was wondering how you can do it, and they demonstrated it right there.
Yeah, I mean, it was, that's an interesting point. I mean, there was also simplicity and directness with how they played. It's a put pucks on the net when you have your chance, create chaos. You've got good enough players that can play ball hockey once you get that puck on the net. You know what I'm saying? And because I think sometimes when Edmonton struggles on the road, they don't put it enough pucks or enough traffic to the goal in the first periods of the game. And they've been lights out. David, they're 26-4-2 at home under Chris Knobloch. Why?
I mean, Bob, I honestly expected them to be this good from the start of the year. I thought the Oilers were going to have that season this year where they were just lights out from beginning to end. So for me, it's not surprising that they were so good. This is a really, really good hockey team with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl and then fantastic veteran supporting cast, with guys like Hyman and Ekholm and others and Kane and Nugent Hopkins. And so it's just it's a fantastic team. And they added who's turning into a decent player in Connor Brown. So I was expecting them to win right from the start. And what was surprising was that they didn't. And so the only thing to explain in my eyes is what went wrong at the start. And that's really, I think it's mainly injuries to McDavid and Ekholm and a few other players. McLeod, Kulak were hurt, were banged up at the start. They had to give Jack Campbell a go, and he crumbled. Huge factor. So maybe as big a factor as any, but all those little things added up, and they just didn't win as much at the start. But Bob, from the start, on paper, this was the best team in the NHL, and eventually they got there. Yeah, I think so. I thought at the start of the year they were. I think they are.
So, David, you do, and we've had this conversation before, you do your own form of analytics. We'll get you to explain it in a second. Going into last night's game, and I haven't checked today, as per Natural Stat Trick, going into last night's game, Edmonton was number one in the league in expected goals, 4-5-on-5. That would indicate that they are a top-flight team. Of course, they've had a really good power play. Carolina's the other team up there, 5-on-5, that's with them. In your advanced metrics, and explain to everybody again what you guys do at the Cult of Hockey.
Well, since, I guess it's about 13, 14 years now, we do video analysis, Bob, of every grade A shot for and against the Oilers. So we can compare the Oilers, how they're doing this year compared to other years. We don't do it for the whole league. I mean, I don't have a staff of 100 guys going over all the video to do that kind of work. But we do it for the Oilers. And this year, they've had a significant edge, even over last year, in grade A shots. They're just that much better. And they've improved under Knobloch. So their defense, essentially, they're creating as many grade A shots as they were under Woodcroft, but they're giving up about one fewer less per game, which is significant. So this team is getting smarter on defense. And last night, they showed they're getting pretty darn smart on offense, too, against something that really stymied them last year, which was the Vegas zone.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, one addition, Matthias Ekholm has played 96 games for the Edmonton Oilers. He is plus 71. I know there's some younger hardcore analytics stats stuff. Use the expected goals for, don't use plus minus. Plus 71 in 96 games is plus 71 in 96 games, David.
Yeah, I was reading Bob today. Someone was comparing him to Pronger online, like the impact on the team, and I was thinking, wow, that's a bold claim.
Yes.
And that, you know, the difference between him and Pronger is Pronger was such an intimidating player. Like he struck fear in the opposition. I don't think Ekholm does that. But in terms of just like since he's been with the Oilers, his impact on the game itself, he kind of has that same impact as Pronger on the game itself. He's a super solid defenseman against tough competition who is an extraordinary puck mover as well. And that's where that's what I didn't expect him to be, but that's what he's done this year.
Yeah, he's had a wonderful campaign. And in the process, Bouchard has taken a quantum step forward here. These guys' numbers since the All-Star break, like the team has, I think, got the sixth best record in the All-Star break, which isn't bad. Their penalty killing's 29th since the All-Star break. They stayed out of the box. They were really disciplined last night. But, man, oh, man, I mean, Evan Bouchard, going into last night's game, was leading all defensemen in scoring since the All-Star break. And then 5-on-5, you know, Matthias Ekholm was leading all teams in the All-Star break. And I got to read another stat. Again, I know people ask, Star, for you and your stupid stats. McDavid plus 34, Draisaitl plus 27, Bouchard plus 34, Hyman plus 36, Ekholm plus 43. Those are pretty good.
Bob, at the start of the year, I said, I think I gave like 10 stats that the Oilers need to achieve this year, and one of them was McDavid at plus 40, which he's now approaching. You know, he has developed into not just an extraordinary offensive player, but a super solid defensive hockey player, one who can really be trusted. So you would expect him to be about plus 40 this year, and he's trending in that direction. He might have reached, you know, if he hadn't been hurt here, I don't know how long he's going to be out for. But yeah, he is just playing exceptional two-way hockey. According to the work we do in video analysis, he's never been better than this season in terms of his two-way play. He is significantly, he's as good as ever on the attack, and he's a little better on defense.
Yeah, no, it's gone pretty well. Hey, that's interesting. Anything else shaken on your front that sort of caught your eye that's sort of newsworthy in oil country that the guys at the Cult of Hockey are monitoring on a day-to-day basis, David?
Well, I did take an in-depth look at the penalty kill. I guess Jonathan Willis of The Athletic was pointing out that Nurse has been minus 15 in the last 25 games. And so I thought that's pretty alarming. So I took a look at the whole year, and it turns out that Ekholm, there's not much to separate the defensemen, but the surprising thing to me was the best defenseman on the PK, if you look at a number of statistical factors, and is Cody Ceci. He has really played solid hockey, and he's been much maligned this year, and, you know, there's talk about bringing in another defenseman to replace him, but on the penalty kill, he's been the best defenseman. Ekholm has probably been second best, and then Nurse and Dehaene have struggled a bit more. At forward, Fogle was top of the list. He's been rock solid on the penalty kill, which surprised me. I wasn't expecting to see that.
He's the third rotation, right? It's Nugent Hopkins.
That's right. It's easier. A little easier for him.
Yeah, Nugent Hopkins, obviously, if Derek Ryan to start, then they go to Connor Brown, who is going to make things interesting. I'm just going to, throw this at you because you got Connor Brown and Janmark. They're both UFAs at the end of the season. Fogle's a UFA. Perry's a UFA. Sequence for me, who should be the priority to re-sign as UFAs between Perry, Fogle, Brown, they all play right wing, and Matthias Janmark?
Well, it's going to come down to price point for that. Like, Fogle is clearly the best player at even strength of those guys. Warren Fogle scores like a top six winger at even strength. He gets about 2.2 points per 60. That's right up there with some of the top scoring wingers in the NHL. 2.2 per 60 is a really strong number. I think it puts you at like first line category in the NHL. He's also a physical player, a fast player, and a hard checker, and he's solid enough on defense. So, but Fogle, I don't think the Oilers are going to be able to afford Warren Fogle because other teams are going to be doing the statistical analysis and even more in depth. So it's Fogle. Other than that,
I re-signed Perry, just so you know.
The whole thing with Perry and Kane has been fascinating to behold. I really like the way Corey Perry framed that as brothers fight. That was the perfect framing. It described to fans the kind of the internal dynamics of a team, and it gave some space to Kane to maintain some dignity in the whole spat. I really like Corey Perry's approach there. I like Connor Brown, and I know not everybody's in that camp. He's really coming on. If he were to sign for a minimum contract in Edmonton, I don't know if he would. I would gladly see him return. He's playing better and better all the time. He can kill penalties. He's a physical player. He can still skate fast. He's 30, and he looks like he's recovered from his injury now. I think he could have a really good year next season.
All right. One final one for you. You and me are at an event together. I just met with John Sexsmith and Bryn Griffiths and Dave Jameson. It's part of what's going to be taking place with Cal Nichols, a toast of the town, a week from Saturday out at the River Cree. David, you're going to be doing one of the hot stoves with me. It's Patrick LaForge is going to be up there as well with Cal. And then later on, it's going to be Mac T and Kevin Lowe. I'm looking forward to it. How about you?
I am too, and what a great idea. I mean, in some ways, Edmonton's lowest point, the mid-90s, you know, tough times economically. The Oilers looking like they're on the way out of town. Everybody hating the owner, Peter Pocklington. Cal Nichols stepped up and did something absolutely remarkable in organizing citizens and then wealthy people in the community to save the Oilers in Edmonton. Enough can't be said about his contribution to the city. He's a real hero here.
All right, looking forward to it. David, thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Thanks, Bob.
5:22 in Edmonton. When we come back, we go to the Oilers Now Prospects Report. Brendan Escott will have that. You're listening to Oilers Now. Bob Stauff with you, Brendan Escott momentarily, John Shannon, Reed Wilkins still to come. We hear a lot of comments about the cost of living, including the cost of vehicles. At the same time, consumers are keeping their vehicles longer. Repair costs start to come into play. The team at Brentridge Ford, they're working to help you. They have assembled over 30 Escapes and Bronco Sports that can provide reliable and affordable transportation. For fair and open vehicle ownership, call Rich, Johnny, or Uncle Milt, 780-352-6048. Brentridge Ford is on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin, where cars cost less. Let's go to the Oilers Now Prospect Report for Reface Magic, and here's Brendan Escott.
Let's just take a peek at James Stephan. I'm looking at the Bakersfield lineup. I think you got the farm report earlier this week, but Stephan is about to embark on the second round of the playoffs with the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League, and I'll tell you what, he's already been racking up the points. 5 goals and 8 points in the first 4 games. That's all they needed to advance out of the first round, and he's been sort of a career playoff producer in the Western League, so I think that gaining the experience right now for a team that was ranked in the top 5 of the CHL standings, they're pushing for Memorial Cup appearance, and he's obviously a huge catalyst for that.
One of the best colors I ever had on back in the days of Total Sports was a guy by the name of Daly Doug. His stepson plays for Victoria, and he said James Stephan is going to find a way for the Edmonton Oilers organization based on what he saw in that series. You can text us 780-496-0063. Back to names of the documentary on the 2023-24 Oilers season. How about this one? A Seattle skater from near disaster to a great season. Bob, you have to get royalties. Well, we have to do something so the boys could have a little bit of fun. Again, you can text us. Oh, this is creative. It comes in from Darcy. He said, the season was lost and then it was found, and now we are playoff bound. That's the name of the documentary. Okay, and you can text us 780-496-0063. Ed says, Farmer Ed, how about running better, complete oil and filter change? What comes to us from Ed? Play on words. Off to Global News weather traffic update. Thomas Dias, John Shannon, when we return for Legacy Heating and Cooling.